This is another day that the Lord has blessed us with. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our numbers are way down because of the weather we're having. A lot of ice, I guess, out there. So remember those in your prayers. Kay texted this morning and said that they were iced in on top of their mountain. So there's one example. We are continuing our monthly study based on the sheet for January, which is titled New Beginnings. If you did not get one of these and you want to get one, they're still back there on that table. It's a yearly Bible study, but it's not like a normal one to where you have to read, you know, several chapters during the month or every day. This is just one or two verses per day that you read, and I'm going to use those four scriptures for that month. And so this month we're looking at new beginnings. I looked at the next 10 scriptures, and there wasn't really anything that I could use for a lesson that I was wanting to build. And so we're only going to look at two chapters this morning. One of them, the First Peter 1, comes out of the reading for this section. Because we had 3 weeks, I divided the 30 days into 10-day sections and took those 10 scriptures to make my lessons off. Last week it worked, this week it didn't. So I only took one verse out of that, which is 1 Peter 1. But we're going to look at the whole chapter. And we're also going to look at Proverbs 3, which is not part of this reading, but it was a verse that I found that I want to use. And so we'll get started with that. Genesis 1:1. I can't tell you how many times I added this slide and took it out, and then added it back because of the verses we'll be looking at, and then took it out, and then added it back and took it out. And this morning I was going through my lesson again. It's like, you know what? I'm adding this verse, and we'll talk about it several times during the lesson this morning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created. There was no Big Bang. There was no little tiny amoeba that came out of this slimy pond and created all life that we know it, okay? But there's another point that we're going to bring out in this, in that in the beginning, God. And I want you to remember that as we talk about it later on. Going on to Proverbs 3, we're going to look at the first 8 verses. Verses 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. As we go through this year, again, we're looking at new beginnings and looking at the beginning of this new year, 2024. As we go through this year, we cannot forget the laws of God. We cannot just go off willy-nilly and live our life the way we want to. You know, if we're Christians, there's a set of rules and laws and commands that we need to follow. And that's what we're being reminded of here, is that we cannot forget the laws in the scriptures. And the way we can remember those laws and not forget them is to read them. And we need to read our Bible. You don't have to read it daily, but you do need to read it. You need to remind it. And not read the same scripture over and over again. Read different scriptures. And that's where those the Bible readings in a year come in handy, because in the year you will read the whole Bible. But like I said, there are several days that you're reading several chapters to keep up with it, okay? But we do need to read the Bible, and we need to read the Old Testament. And that's where this is talking about the laws. We see the laws in the Old Testament, and they may not apply to us per se as we are now, but they do still apply to us in how we need to live, and how they were applied, and how they, if I can use the term, rolled over into the New Testament. And we see here to keep his commands, in which we see a lot of commands in the New Testament that we need to follow. Okay? Verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Have you ever noticed somebody who did not believe in God and lived a worldly life and just doing whatever they want? You can see the years on them. You know, you can look at their face and tell that they've lived a really rough life. Okay? God is telling us here, if we don't forget his laws and we keep his commands, our days are going to be longer. Not to say that just because we're a Christian, we're going to live long lives. Some of you might know Brother Bob Gorslin. He was a member out at the Valley. Him and his wife were planting at the time, West Side. He was an elder at Valley. He was my boss at work. Our families did everything together. We called ourselves a holiday bunch because we didn't have any family here, so we spent the holidays together. April 1st, 2015, we were in the process of moving him out to Airway Heights so he could be closer to the church. And we had gone out to their new house that they had bought, and I remember him showing us opening the back door, and there's a swing set in the back. And he was talking about how his grandsons, when they visited, you know, would be out there playing in that, you know, in those swing sets. April 1st, we're packing him up, and he ends up with a massive heart attack and dies in the back of the moving truck. He never made it out. He was 45 years old. So just because we're a Christian doesn't mean we're going to have these long lives. The longest life I've ever known was Ann Jackman back in Pensacola, Florida. She turned to 102, you know, and we went to her birthday party because that's a huge, you know, monument. You know, the oldest person I've ever known. She ended up passing away. She didn't make it to 103. You know, we went there and I didn't know what to buy a 102-year-old lady. And so I bought her the little candles, a 1, a 0, and a 3. You know, and she goes, "You didn't have to buy me anything." I said, "Well, I didn't know what to buy, you know, a 102-year-old lady." And I said, "So I bought you the candles for next year." And of course, she didn't make it, but it was still, you know. But, you know, we're not guaranteed a 102-year life because we're a Christian, but we're guaranteed a better life, you know, compared to people who do not have it. And peace will be added to you. Our life will be better because we're a Christian, and that is guaranteed. Going on to verses 3 and 4. Let not mercy, remember what mercy is? Mercy is undeserved righteousness, okay? We don't deserve the mercy that God has given to us. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. You know, a lot of people wear necklaces. A lot of people wear crosses whether they believe in Christ or not, because that's something that's dear to them. Not so much today, but ladies used to wear lockets. And when you opened the locket up, there would be a picture inside, usually of their husband or their son or whatever, because that was close to them, that was dear to them, and they wanted to remember that, okay? I haven't done since my back surgery and all, but I do a lot of hiking. And I carry a small neck knife, you know, that's close to me under my shirt, so if I needed it, not that the blade I have on my hip and the switch in my, you know, pocket and the machete on my back wasn't enough, but I still carry a small knife in case something happened and I needed it, I've got it there. And I've made a survival necklace that has, I think, 10 or 12 different items, survival items, that I wear around my neck under my shirt. So in case something happens, I've got a little fire starter, I have an emergency whistle, I have my small knife, and other things that I might need. But again, it's close to me. And that's what God is saying here, that we need to keep his mercies and his truth. They're never going to forsake us. And we need to keep those around our neck. They need to be, you know, dear to us. Keeping a journal this year of the things that happened in your life, the good things that happened, you know, scriptures that you read, and, you know, what they mean to you. You know, there's nothing wrong in keeping a journal if you want to. Write them on a tablet of your heart. You know, keep that dear to you. Verse 4, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Doing these things, we're going to have a high sight, you know, with God, but also with man. People are going to know that you're different, you know, because you're a Christian. People at work know that I'm a minister. And some people will cuss and everything else, and they'll look at me, "Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot that you were, you know, you're a preacher." And they'll, you know, they'll stop cussing. People will realize that you're a Christian and will act differently around you. And they might come to you at some point when they need you. They need a Christian. They need the church. Maybe a death in their family. They don't know any other minister. Hey, by the way, you know, people will know, and recognize that you're different, they should, and they will come to you because you have done these things that we're talking about here. Verses 5 and 6 in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We're stupid. Okay? Plain and simple, we're stupid. It doesn't matter how much education you've had, how many letters you've got before or after your name, we're all still stupid. And we show it in how we live our lives. You know, we're constantly sinning. Why? Because we're stupid. But trust in the Lord with all your heart, with everything that's in you, and lean not on your own understanding, okay? Because we don't know as much as we think we do or want to. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Acknowledge God, acknowledge who He is, and He will help lead your life. He will help in your footprints and your foot tracks and how you live your life. Listen to the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. You know, you see it a lot of times in cartoons, you know, the devil and the angel, you know, trying to get you to do this and make these mistakes. Well, that angel that's in your head that's telling you, don't do this, idiot, is the Holy Spirit. And we need to lean on Him, not us. Reading these verses reminded me of a chapter in Psalms that we are all familiar with, and I just want to quickly read that this morning. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and the staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Again, if we are doing what it is that we are supposed to do as a Christian, we're staying in God's word, we're praying to God, you know, we're asking for help, He will be there for us all the days of our life. Going back to Proverbs 3, the last two verses, verses 7 and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Again, we're stupid and we're not as wise as we think we are. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. We're talking about this in the class this morning. Fear God and depart from evil. What we're reading this morning is if you depart from God, from the devil, he will flee from you. If we stay with God, he will be there always, and the devil will leave us alone. Verse 8, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones if you depart from evil. Again, our health is in our flesh and our strength is in our bones. No, we're not going to be totally healthy, as we all know. We all have aches and pains and problems. But does that matter? No. Because we trust in God and we know what's coming, as we'll look at in these next few verses in 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His abundant mercy, there's that word again, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Through God's mercy, something that we don't deserve, but through God's mercy, He has given us a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we should all understand that. Christ had to die so that He could be resurrected. And that resurrection is what gives us life. He defeated death. And his blood is what forgives us. And we needed that. We needed both things. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you and you and everybody. Everything on this earth, moth and rust, is going to decay it. It's all going to vanish in the blink of an eye. But the reward that we have, that we have been promised through Christ's death, because he defeated death and was raised again in 3 days, we are going to be able to raise. We are going to defeat death. Okay? Whether we die and are raised from that grave, or our earthly body dies and our spiritual body goes to heaven. Okay? We are able to rise again because of Christ being raised from the dead. And it is incorruptible and undefiled, and our heavenly home does not fade away. Remember, Christ said, I have gone to prepare a place for you. That is our place in heaven. We have a reservation with our name on it. And it's never going to fade away. Ever. And we'll talk about that more. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith by salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Remember what faith is? The evidence of things not seen? No. Always get that backwards. The hope of things not seen and the evidence of things we haven't seen. Okay? And that's faith. That's what we don't see. We've never seen Christ. Okay? But we know he exists. And that's what it is. We haven't seen heaven. But it exists. And we know that because God has told us that. We've never seen Jesus. Okay? There's all kind of painters' descriptions out there and ideas of what he looks like, but we don't know. There's never any pictures or drawings made of Jesus. But those are things that we need to hope on this coming year. Verses 6 through 9. Again, in Hebrews 11, 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And I got to thinking about this, and my mind goes crazy. If we went down here to the Spokane River, and we cut our finger, and we dropped a single big drop of blood into the Spokane River, Spokane River is going to flow down into the Columbia River. Columbia River is going to weave around Washington and go down the border of Idaho and drain into the Pacific Ocean. And the Pacific Ocean is not by itself. It's joined by the Atlantic Ocean, the Indian Ocean, and now there's 7 oceans, or 8 oceans, not 7. I don't remember which one they've added to it. But all that water with your drip of blood, okay, if it stayed as one drip and didn't dissolve, that's our life. If you looked at all the oceans as being from the beginning of time to the end of time, your one little drop of blood, that's your life in that part of time, okay? I've used the example before. If that wall was Genesis 1:1, at the beginning, God created, and this is when Jesus comes again, and you take one of those little pins back there and you make a tiny little mark in that line, that's your life. That's your dash, okay? We're here for a little while, but we are grieved by various trials. We're going to face all kinds of temptations and trials that James has talked about, okay? Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, which we just talked about, being much more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gold is dirty. and it's put in fire and heated, the impurities come out and they scrape that off and you end up with 99 whatever percent of gold, okay? Precious gold. Our faith is more precious than that 100% or 99.999% precious or pure gold, okay? Our faith in something that we hope for and evidence of what we have not seen. Jesus, God, heaven, okay? Our faith in those is more precious than that gold bar. And again, we see that in the revelation of Jesus Christ, not in the book of Revelation, but when Christ comes back and we see him, that revelation. Verse 8, whom having not seen you, love. Whom having not seen, you love. We have not seen Jesus Christ, but we love him. You might have a grandson or a granddaughter that you have not seen yet, but you love that grandchild because of who it is. Though now you do not see him, Jesus, yet believing, you rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of joy. We have not seen Jesus. We have not walked with Jesus. We know about Jesus. We have faith and believe in Jesus. Okay? And one day, we will all see Jesus. Every single knee will bow, and they will believe in Jesus because they have seen him. Yet believing, you rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I realized something when I read that verse. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our faith will be revealed. We will see Jesus. And do you realize at that point, we no longer have faith? We don't need faith. Because the evidence of things not seen, we are now seeing. Faith doesn't exist. Because the things that we have hoped for, the things that we believed in that we did not see, have all come true. We won't need faith any longer. And I caught that, receiving the end of your faith, because the salvation of your souls. We will go to heaven at that time, after the judgment. Okay? Again, things to look forward to this year. Verses 10 and 11. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Again, we've looked at the prophets. We've recently talked about Isaiah. We've talked about Ezekiel. We've talked about Daniel. Okay? All of those prophets prophesied about Jesus. And we'll talk about that again. And they prophesied about the end of time. Okay? They searched carefully about what was going to come to you. Verse 11, searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when Jesus testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Did you catch that? The Spirit of Christ who was in them. We looked at this a few weeks ago when we talked about Isaiah. In one of the prophecies, we looked at the wording of it. And it was Jesus telling Isaiah what to write about what was going to happen to him when he came to this earth. Okay? Remember, we looked at John 1:1. The Word was God. The Word was Jesus. The Word came and dwelt among us. And the Word was in the beginning. In the beginning, God. Jesus was there. And we've seen this in other scriptures. Jesus was there during the Old Testament, okay? And he talked to the prophets and told them what to write down. And we see that here, that Jesus was in them who was prophesying in the Old Testament. He was testifying beforehand, before the sufferings of Christ. Verse 12, to them it was revealed, the prophets, it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things that now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Again, the prophets were told by God and by Jesus what was going to happen. They prophesied about it. It came true. But there's still a prophecy that's got to come true, and that is the end of time, when Jesus will come and get his bride, when this that we know today is all over. Even the angels desire to know about that. And again, Jesus himself doesn't know when that time is going to happen. He doesn't know the day and the hour. Only God does. And God will turn to Jesus and say, "Son, it's that time. Go get your bride." Again, the angels don't even know that. But again, that's in our future. It might happen today. It might happen tomorrow, next week, this year. We don't know. We're not guaranteed anything. We're not guaranteed another breath. The only breath we were guaranteed was the one you just took. You're not guaranteed another one. We're not guaranteed another day. That's the reason we need to always, always be ready. We need to be right with God. And we do that by reading scriptures and praying and meeting together and encouraging each other. That's what we need to do. Verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And again, this revelation is when Jesus Christ comes back and he's revealed to everybody. We need to be gird up our loins. We need to pull up our pants. We need to be ready. We need to be sober and rest fully upon that grace that has been brought to us. Verse 14, as obedient children, not disobedient children. We've had both of those in our lives, okay? We don't need to be disobedient. We need to be obedient, which means we need to go back to what we've already read and what we're looking at this morning in class, in that we need to be reading the scriptures. We need to keep the laws. We need to keep the commands that have been given to us so that we can be considered obedient children, not conforming ourselves to the former lusts as is in your ignorance. Again, we're stupid. We're ignorant. Peter is telling us here that we don't need to conform to our former lust, our worldly lust, the things that get us in trouble, the things that keep us out of heaven, okay? We need to be smarter. We need to be obedient children. Verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, and also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Again, we need to be good in our conduct. We need to be obedient children. Where does that come from? It comes from Leviticus 11, verse 44. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Going back to 1 Peter 1, verse 17 and 18. For if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work. Again, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. And this isn't fear where you crouch in a corner and you wrap up in a blanket and you're scared to go out during the day because you're afraid you'll say something or do something. No, it's a good fear in that we know what's going to happen to us if we do things wrong. And we're caught at the end of time. But we need to live our lives without fear, knowing that, you know what? We're living our life the way we should. We've got to be doing that. We've got to conduct ourselves throughout your time here in a way we are supposed to live. We are supposed to be obedient children. Verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, again, like gold and silver, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. We were not redeemed with gold and silver. Our spirits, our time was not paid for with gold and silver, you know, things that are going to perish. As we're going to read in verse 18, we were purchased with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Not with gold and silver, but by the blood of Jesus. Remember in the Old Testament, whenever they supposed to give a sacrifice, it was supposed to be the firstborn, it was supposed to be without blemish, it was supposed to be without spot. That was a remembrance of what was going to come with Jesus being offered as a sacrifice. Jesus was without spot and was without blemish. Okay? And that's where this blood comes from that we were bought by. Verse 20, he indeed, Jesus was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was magnificent in these last times for you. And this is the reason I kept adding Genesis 1 and then taking it out and adding it. And this one, when I finally read it this morning, I said, you know what? I'm putting Genesis 1 in because that's what this is talking about. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Before Genesis 1:1, Jesus existed. And it was foreordained back then, before the world was without form and void. God and Jesus determined then what was going to happen throughout time, and that he was going to offer himself as a sacrifice, as the unblemished, the lamb without blemish and spot. That he was going to have to go through all of this before the world was even created. He knew what was going to happen. That's the reason he could tell the prophet Isaiah what he was going to have to go through. And we know now that sometime in the future, maybe this year, we don't know, maybe this month, that Jesus is going to come back. And that is the reason we need to be obedient children every day of our life and do everything we can to be obedient. Verse 21. Who, through him, through Jesus, believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Jesus died on the cross, was raised 3 days later, has given us a hope that when he comes back, we too will be raised again, and that our faith and our hope are in God, and that's where they should be. Verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, here we go again. We've been reading this, and we'll be reading it a lot next month. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. We have been purified. Our souls have been purified, and we obey the truth. Then we need to love one another with a fervent and pure heart. Verse 23, having been born again through baptism, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Remember, that was a question when they were told, well, how can I be born again? Am I supposed to go back in my mother's womb? No, that is a corruptible seed. We are born again through baptism, through an incorruptible seed that's going to last forever, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You know how long forever is? That's kind of like think forever and just keep going and keep going. That's eternity. That's heaven. Life in heaven is forever. Life in hell is forever. I've heard now, here lately, they've come up with time frames. Oh, it's only going to be 20 years of really bad, and the rest of the time it's going to be okay. No, it's hell forever, burning and gnashing of teeth. And then our last verse is, let's go back one more. We're going to live, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away. Again, remember that drop of blood, that little prick in time? That's our life. That's our dash, okay? It's short compared to what life is going to be, what life has been and what it's going to be. Whatever time frame that is, we don't know, okay? But it's like grass, it's like the flowers. They're here for a short time, and then they wilt away. Unfortunately, that's us. We're only here for a short time, and then we're going to wither away. But, verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord endures forever. Verse 24 comes from Isaiah 40, verses 6 and 8, if you want to just verify it. But the word of the Lord, we're going to last just a short time, but the word of Lord endures forever. Pick up your Bible. The word of the Lord endures forever. Not just to the end of time, but forever. Eternity. What God has spoken in the New Testament and the Old Testament, that's going to last forever. That's going to last the rest of this month, next month, the rest of this year, if there is a completion to this year. But it doesn't matter, because it's going to keep going. Okay? Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Remember what the gospel is? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Okay? The word which was preached by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's what this is based on. Because of his death and burial and resurrection, we have tomorrow. We have hope for tomorrow. We have hope for eternity. New beginnings. The journey has just begun. This year has just begun. We're, 21 days into it? But we have another however many days left in this year. Let's make sure that we are living it as obedient children. Let's make sure that we are reading our Bibles, that we're praying to God, that we're encouraging each other, that we're coming here to be with each other so we can encourage each other. Let's do everything we can as a Christian to make sure that we are in heaven forever. That's our goal. That should be our daily goal, to make sure that everything we're doing, everything we're saying, everybody we come in contact with is set on heaven. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, let us know. Let us help you. Let us encourage you. Let us be there for you. Let us help you with your walk in life to make sure that heaven is your final resting place. I say resting, but we're going to be too happy and glorious to rest. We don't need any rest. If you haven't made that decision, and you haven't put on Christ, and that's something that you need to do today, let us take care of that sin problem. Let us help you in your goal to hit heaven. Let your wishes be known as together we stand and sing.